Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Husky Fan Podcast. Preview and prediction edition for the Cal game. As always, I'm joined by my bro, Jimmy Cornell. Jimmy, are you as excited as I am to record this pod?
Through the moon, buddy. Through the moon.
How quickly are you going to tell me we need to cut it short?
Pretty quick.
Uh-oh.
Now, we you know, we can get after it for a few minutes, but, you know, it's Thursday. Got to rest up for Friday.
Yeah, our listeners, they need this to get through their Friday.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, then I'm happy to be here to discuss the mighty Cal Bears.
But, yes. And a couple things I want to discuss in that vein, but more so pertaining to our Washington Huskies. I think you talked about Jake and Ty Jones, and there was just multiple episodes of miscommunication. Jake Heaps had a video talking about this. Mm. And I noticed on two third downs, like there was one where Browning did not lead Ty Jones, and then there was another one where Ty Jones was open, and I think Browning thought he was just going to like sit where he was. And that's, I mean, I hope that they have better communication, because Browning's getting protection and Ty Jones is getting open. It's just, it seems to be a communication issue.
Well, is Jake being a leader? Is he being the senior leader at the quarterback position he should be? Or is Ty Jones tuning him out? The young Ty just not listening. So if that's the case, hopefully they tighten that up for the last few games of this year.
Because I think in recent weeks, the offensive line has actually played fairly well, and they seem to be getting into kind of a groove. And I think the defensive line also, what kind of went unnoticed, even though the game was, I don't want to say lackadaisical, but the second half, the defense played really well after the first three drives. But I think the defensive line, especially in the second half, I mean, they were really getting after it.
Yeah, a little, they got out of their lack, you know, their haze or whatever, their hangover the first half, and settled in nicely to have a competitive second half and showed their might.
Yeah.
In that game. And, you know, if anyone was worried of Ahmed, you know, getting penalized for his throat slash, apparently he was assessed 500 push-ups for his throat slash gesture that obviously caused the 15-yard penalty. So if anyone was worried about Ahmed paying his dues for that, don't worry. Peterson gave him 500 push-ups.
Well, did you see anybody who was worried about that?
No.
You're just being facetious?
I'm being a little facetious.
Yeah. All right, but I like that. I want to see more of that out of you.
Quick note, too. Interesting, Kyler, you know, Gordon had one play against Oregon but did not suit up against Colorado. Interesting. And I can't find anything on Jordan Miller being injured. Have we confirmed that being the case?
We have not. We haven't received any info from a faithful listener and great dog mom, Buffy Miller.
Have we heard anything from the coaches on that topic of Jordan Miller being injured or dealing with any sort of nagging injury?
No, we've not.
So I think that'll be interesting to see on Saturday. Who will suit up at that position? If it's going to be more Keith Taylor, or if Jordan Miller comes back in that as the starter, a little bit of an interesting development there. It didn't seem like he was injured at all on that long touchdown. At least he didn't show any sort of, you know, like he wasn't clutching his leg or, you know, holding his shoulder or limping or whatsoever. But, you know, did not see him return in that game. So curious to see how that plays out.
Yeah, I mean, given that he didn't return, I mean, I think I think it would be an injury issue. I mean, the coaches are not going to bench a guy just because of one play.
It would seem odd that you would just replace him over one play and not have him back out there again.
Maybe Coker can sneak into practice. Or I guess at this point he'd have to sneak into the locker room before the game and tweet out, you know, who's in uniform and, you know, who's playing, who's not playing.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past him. Coker's a sneaky guy. He could, he works well in the shadows. He can work the corners and find himself sneaking past Securitas to,
What was that word? Sneaking past who?
Securitas. You know, I was watching South Park not too long ago, so there's a little Cartman in me.
I like that. Did you happen to hear Coker and Dennis's recruiting update in their pod?
You know, I'd gotten through a fair bit of it. I did not get to the recruiting part, unfortunately. I'd meant to try to finish it up today, but I was not able to.
Well, there's just some major dooging, and it sounds justified.
Okay.
But do you want me to go on, or should we get
Yeah.
back to? Oh well, well, it sounds like it sounds like, and I read this on Dogman too. That wide receiver Kyle Ford, who I guess got injured, but he's a five-star. People are speculating that he could be a silent commit to UW. And there's, I think he's an outside linebacker, Latu is his name, and he's a pretty high four-star, and he's now going to commit, I think, right before the early signing period, and his last visit is to UW. I think he's a Polynesian, so he's on that last visit weekend with a bunch of different Polynesians, and then there's, I forget the guy's name, but he's a corner, he's another high four-star guy, and they were making the point that Jimmy Lake has really not, like when he's been recruiting, like he really hasn't lost anyone in the last couple of years other than that guy David Long who went to Michigan. So for the most part, what they're saying is when Lake is in on a guy, for the most part, he closes.
Well, he's gotten a lot of pub about his recruiting prowess.
And I think there was one more guy they were talking about. Who else? You know, and then they said Tua Tele is a silent commit. So, I mean, it's looking like this class could be pretty, I don't want to say epic, but it's obviously going to be bigger than the last couple of years because we've got some retirements and attrition coming. But, I mean, we're starting to really stockpile talent.
Did they talk about Asa Turner? Anything on any update on him?
No. Oh, and the other thing is Coker, who Dennis says is the most negative person he's ever met, is now feeling optimistic on Savelle Smalls.
Interesting. And why is that? Because he responded to Dennis's tweet?
I think it has more to do with that, but they wouldn't reveal why.
Well, what do we have, a few more years to find out?
I think this is his junior year.
So I think it should...
Probably another, what, maybe nine months or so? Or I mean, is he going to decide before the season? Before next season?
Countdown clock? A countdown
calendar? Yeah. We should. Every Husky website should have that on there.
Can you put something on the Husky Fan Podcast?
The Savelle Smalls countdown clock?
Yes.
Yes, we'll be the first Husky website to do that.
I would appreciate if you could get on that.
Yeah, and... I'm typing that in my notes right now. Savelle Smalls countdown clock.
Excellent. I'm hopeful that you can have that completed by weekend.
Yes, I'll be. That's immediately number one on my to-do list for tomorrow.
Okay, perfect. Well, I'm looking forward to that. Any recruiting notes you'd like to cover with the TSIO guys?
I covered the gist of it.
Well, you know, might as well give them all a shout out. Wilbur Hook Hand and Coker.
Wilbur Hook's Hand at Wilbur Hook's Hand.
And the legendary DDY, who there was some tweet or thread, and some guy was like saying that guy is like the he's like the worst representation of a Husky fan. He's just like he's just a, you know, he's awful. I got a real good belly laugh out of that one.
Belly laughs are already great.
Yes, yeah, you gotta always enjoy a good belly laugh, especially in the media room.
I don't know why I just love when fans attack other fans of the same team. It's just funny.
It's very entertaining.
Even if it's dog on dog crime, I don't mind it. Well, not crime, but just, you know, harmless attacks over the internet.
Even like like taking shots at tequila. I'm happy to do that. though I did want to make a quick point that from some of the podding I did listen to of those gentlemen talking, they did bring up, you know, Levi's insane blowing up of that lineman where he just tossed the individual aside, and they made the point that no one like came up to him, you know, fired up about that ridiculous play. Like someone like came by and like patted him on the shoulder and that was about it. You know, maybe this team should, you know, do some homework and go back and look at the early 90s and the pure raw emotion that those defensive players would show on the field when they're absolutely destroying people. Now, granted, they had a ton of talent and they were badass and they ran that 46 defense, and shout out to Jim Lambright though for crafting that attacking style defense. You know, I know that this team doesn't do that, but boy, it's sure fun to watch a defense that just looks to destroy the other team on every single play.
Like, I got one question for you, but I'll make a comment first. Just for all the young dukes out there, millennial dukes, that Levi play, that was textbook Entman. Yeah. That was Entman-like. I mean, that's exactly like what he would do.
Yeah, all the time.
My question, though, is, I mean, we started to see BBK and Miles Bryant. It's funny, like the two tryhards, we started to see that they were the ones showing emotion there towards the end. Does it have to do with the style of defense that we play, Jimmy? Because we're not playing an attacking, blitzing style of defense. We're playing like, okay, we're just going to hold you to 3 or 4 yards and, you know, you're not going to be able to score a touchdown.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that...
I mean, is it hard to get... But that being said, we still would like to see more emotion on a TFL like that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, half the defense should have been surrounding him on that play, or at least the D-line, his fellow D-linemen, supporting him in his outstanding effort and his, his never-quit motor on that play. That should be celebrated.
Yeah, so. Totally. That is disappointing.
Maybe they celebrated it in the film room, you know, after when they reviewed the tape.
But I mean, if they celebrate it on the field, the crowd can feed off of that energy, and then the players can then even more so feed off the energy of the crowd.
Well, the crowd, the Washington crowd throughout history, has always been rabid when it's come to defense. They love defensive football. And they get juice for it, man. So, you know, obviously it's not a home game this weekend. At least I don't think so.
Yeah, who are we playing again?
Yeah. Who the hell are we? Who are we playing on Saturday? What's the kickoff? Oh, yeah, the Cal Bears.
California Golden Bears.
And it's a mid-late day kick, 3:30 kick.
Yes.
Is it on the Pac-12 network?
I think it's on Fox.
Is it on Fox?
And by the way, the Stanford game, like, we're not going to know what the schedule of that is until Monday. I know we already talked about it, Jimmy, but that's... I think it's going to be, like, a 6 p.m. game on the Pac-12 network or...
Or 7:45.
7:45 on ESPN. That is just... Can I use your word? Atrocious.
It is absolutely atrocious. I frankly, if it's a 7:45 kick, I likely will not be present for that game.
What? Come on, man.
That's just too late. It's too late. Yeah, I'm salty like that. That's an asinine start for any football game. We might as well make it 8 o'clock. I mean, 7:45? Awful.
That's ridiculous.
Huh?
That's ridiculous.
It's a joke. Anyway.
Okay.
We'll get into that when it counts.
Okay, so can you guess what Cal is rated? I'm looking at, the median, or I'll just say the average of their offensive ranking in S&P Plus and FBI. Can you guess what the average is?
80.
It's worse than that.
He's 93.
Nope.
101.
Nope.
110.
Nope.
Come on.
Keep going.
120?
Okay, now you're a little high. It's 117.5. So in S&P Plus, their offense is 112, and in FBI, their offense is 123.
Oof. So they're bad.
Yeah, they did score 49 points last week against Oregon State, and I watched about 2 minutes of some clips on YouTube, and Oregon State's defense looked like a high school team out there. Like, wow. they look like they did when we played them in 2015.
Well, I mean, they gave up 77 points or 75 points to Ohio State. Grant, I mean, it's Ohio State, I get it.
Yeah.
They're a much better team, but still, I mean, giving up 70 points to anyone, I mean, you're epically bad.
Yeah, and for some reason, like, I read something on 710, you know, because Brock Heward writes a little blurb about the game every week, and he said, like, Cal's high-powered offense, their explosive offense, could be a challenge. And I'm thinking, I don't know how he said that. I mean, I don't know
explosive offense, who's their only, I mean, what's the one guy who's can play Laird? Is that about it?
Yeah.
I mean, who's their quarterback?
Chase Garbers, and then they have a dual threat guy who, by dual threat, he's a threat to turn it over every time.
So,
that's why, some of their scores, they lost 42-24 against Oregon. They lost by 7 to Arizona. They lost by 30 to UCLA. And those games, like, they had a massive amount of turnovers. So they're really, and it's not just the dual threat guy. I think his name is Brandon McElwain.
Mm-hmm.
So he's really, Garbers is probably going to be the number one guy from here on out, but maybe McElwain will get a series or two. But even that being said, they are fumble prone.
So I'm guessing that the Wilcox buzz is not as high as it was at one point. Remember, like, the staff was putting together, you know, as being an up-and-comer? I mean, sounds like not quite the year they've been hoping for down there in the Bay Area.
Well, this is only his second year, right?
I understand.
And
there being quite a bit of buzz.
I haven't looked at how Wilcox is recruited, but I mean, they have not recruited that well in the years that preceded him. And that being said, I mean, his forte is defense, and in S&P Plus, they're number 18, and in FEI, they're number 19 on defense. But they do, their defense is not that great in the red zone, which will be... That will be interesting.
Well, maybe it's time for Washington to get a little healthy in that department.
Fuck yeah. And also, they're not good at they're not good on third down on defense. Their third and short success rate is 127. Their third and long success rate is 128. A couple more. Let's see, rushing defense, S&P Plus as of number 57, passing defense number 22. I mean, I get the feeling that it's a well-coached defense. It's fundamentally sound. that doesn't make mistakes, so we're going to have to grind it out. But, I mean, talent-wise, we shouldn't be scared of this kind of a defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, agreed.
But, yeah, looking at their offense, I mean, we're favored by 12, so I think it's kind of 28-17 or 28-16, 29-17. That's kind of what the gambling projection is. S&P Plus, I think, has a 29-17. I think that's probably a little high. But I think this is a game where I would really like – at Cal, they've also had some issues on the offensive line. I think they have another new starter this week, and they've had to move some guys around. And I think with how our defensive line played in the second half, with Levi starting to come on, I'd really like to see the defensive line, you know, dominate this team.
Yeah. I concur. I hope they do dominate. I hope they make it a miserable evening for Garbers and the dual threat guy. I hope it's a ugly affair. I hope we blow them out early and we can just watch them, you know, basically just take care of business and get through the game healthy and make Cal look really bad.
Yeah, just get a lead, force a turnover or two.
Yeah.
And this is, I mean...
Gets Peyton Henry some practice. How about...
You know what's kind of unfortunate about Peyton Henry? He's 7-for-8 in field goals in conference play.
Ugh, man, you just keep rubbing that in, huh? Didn't you say he was like 11 of 15 on the year,
too? Yeah, we had those misses against BYU.
And UCLA. He missed two against UCLA.
Really?
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah, that was the week before Oregon. He was struggling.
Yeah, so Cal, they're going to have confidence after last week. We just have to dominate them from the start. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I mean this week. They're going to have confidence after last week.
So they're going to have – by beating the Beavs, they're going to have confidence.
Well, they lost three in a row up to that point. I mean, you know how young people are in college students. Even though they go to Cal, most of them are probably morons. I mean, here's the percentage. Sure.
And, yeah, they'll have a little lift. I get it. Is there an opportunity Hunter Bryant makes an appearance this Saturday?
You know, I don't think so. And I wish we could get some news on that. There was someone on Dogman who said that, you know, I talked to Hunter and he said, you know, he feels good, but he doesn't have explosiveness, and that he'll probably be back for the bowl game, to which point my heart sank because I really would like to get him back ASAP. I know there's some rumors, you know, Trey Adams had this Instagram post. People are saying he's going to come back. I mean,
no.
Hunter Bryan is the guy we need back right now. Like, we desperately need some more talent on offense.
Do you think they need... They need Hunter Bryant to close out the year.
If it's a healthy Hunter Bryant who is like playing, it can play like he did last year, probably.
Okay.
I mean, looking at our offense, Jimmy, it's maddening because, let's see, S&P Plus has our offense at number 25. Mm-hmm. And I think in FEI, we're number 13. Here are some stats from FEI. Offensive efficiency, we're 21. Drives that generate better than starting field position, 12. Available available yards percentage, 13. First down rate, 3. Ball control, that means getting more than 4 plays, 3. So those things are all great. Now here comes the shitty part. Drives with a fumble or interception, 76. Touchdown rate, 38. Touchdown rate after getting a first down, 63. So the offense is really good at moving the ball, but bad at scoring, basically.
Okay, wonderful. Great news.
Yeah, and Cal is a good defense, so I don't think, you know, unless we get multiple cheap scores, I don't see how we're going to score, 35, 38.
So probably 27 range right in there.
Yeah, 27, maybe 24.
All right.
Well, one, I do have to give a shout out to our boy Joe Tryon. He did blow up, I think in the first half, he did blow up a play on third down, which led to them, I think it was kicking their second field goal, I want to say. He actually was the one who blew up the play. So, that's one of my other hopes, Jimmy, is that Tryon just somehow gets way better in the next couple weeks and we can, he makes like a big impact.
Yeah.
By the end of the season. Absolutely. I mean, I'm just looking at how can this team get better? Like, realistically, how can we raise our ceiling? I mean, a healthy Hunter Bryant, I think that would really help.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe someone like Joe Tryon just suddenly gets, his game just really takes off in the next couple weeks and he's applying pressure and giving us something that we've been lacking.
Or, Nata gets back in the mix.
I wanted to mention him because he was playing in the second half. We actually did play him a little bit.
Yep, I know. Yep, he did. But he'd kind of been, felt like he'd kind of disappeared a little bit.
Yeah, no, I had the same feeling too.
All right, do we need to get the questions? Because, we're getting way beyond my limit for the prediction pod.
Yeah, but I have some good news on the question front. I don't even know if there's any questions.
Oh.
So let me...
We'll take a gander.
Let me bring these up. Uh-oh, I got some notifications.
Yeah, well, let's... okay, well...
Okay, if we lose this game, who's going to donate me a rope?
Well, you'll have to go into the dark web, see if you can get one through there.
Get it from some incels, if you know what that term means.
No, I don't know that term.
It means you're an involuntary celibate.
Okay, that's a new word. Thanks for the new vocab word.
But yeah, that's probably that's not related to rope or those tendencies. Anyway, but in regards to losing the game, Jimmy, there is a way that, I think, if we beat, if we beat Wazoo and Stanford, and even if we lose to Cal, I think we would still win that four-team tiebreaker. So I'm not saying it's okay to lose to Cal, but I'm saying if we finish 7-2, there are some scenarios where we can still.
If this team loses to Cal, I don't really care how they finish.
This team loses to Cal but then wins out and goes to the Rose Bowl, you wouldn't care?
What would that be? Three losses?
It would be 10-3 going into the Rose Bowl.
How's that? We'd play 14 games because you have the Pac-12 championship?
Yeah.
10-3. Yeah, I guess I can't complain too much. But I think...
How about we just... Go ahead.
Cal loss would just...
Yeah, that would take you probably like 6 days to get over. You wouldn't be over that until the Stanford game, probably.
That'd be a salty loss.
Yeah, but let's just win out. Let's win every fucking game.
Okay, more questions. Let's go.
Okay, only one more. Thoughts on our running back committee without Gaskin? That's a good one.
I'm happy with it. I'm very happy. I like the trio. Keeps guys healthy. Gives them a little mix for the defense. They can't get used to one guy. McGrew is surprisingly difficult to tackle. He's smaller. Ahmed has, elite speed that doesn't come around often. And then you have Pleasant, who has more of that, bruising style of play, that obviously kind of makes it difficult for the teams to kind of get used to one guy, which I like. So I think they've done a good job mixing them up. I'd still feel like that Ahmed should get the majority of the carries. But the way it is, I like it.
Yeah, I hope we can see Ahmed give us some explosive runs. But here's a stat for you. Last year, Gaskin had 8 plays of 30 yards or more. This year, he only has 1.
Wow.
And do you know what play that was?
Was it an Auburn play?
No, touchdown against Utah.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So it's interesting because the defense is doing fine as far as generating 10-yard and 20-yard explosive plays, but like the real big, 30-yard plays, those are down considerably. So, yeah, I guess you could call it huge plays. Huge.
Huge.
We need more of those. So I'm it's good to, I like the mixture of running backs, but I want to see more huge plays.
Yeah, let's start this weekend. How's that?
Yeah, I'd like to see more turnovers. So with that said, Jimmy, I'll just double check here and make sure there's not any
You're attempting to drag this out to just get under my skin a little bit.
No, I'm not. I like talking to you, brother. Why do you want to get rid of me so fast?
Because, it's approaching my bedtime, man. So that's a big part of it. Some of us need sleep to function, man.
I need sleep, too.
All right, well.
I overslept today, actually. That's kind of nice. That's why I'm energized.
Yeah, you got a little bounce.
Yeah, a little pep in my step. All right, brother, prediction time. Go for it.
Oh, yeah, I guess I'm always leading it off, aren't I? Yeah, I think I'm probably going to go with, I think, 26, and they probably score 16. They get a late score. Or maybe like a third quarter late field goal, but they won't be able to generate enough offense in the fourth. So I think you're looking at about a 26-27-16 ball game. I think we're going to have a slow start like we do often. And I think we'll probably, like Pete wants to, grind it out a bit and then the better team will clinch it in the fourth quarter. So, Dennis will probably have some outbursts.
He'll call it a loss.
Yeah, maybe like the two and a half quarters, Dennis is disgusted of what he is witnessing, and he'll probably be warranted in his disgust. But I think the mighty Huskies will prevail in a grinded out type game, especially if their defense is sound and fundamental. We'll probably, have some tough stretches, a couple tough series offensively.
Yeah, I agree with you. But I think we're going to get some turnover luck this game. I'm liking our defensive line. I think hopefully the coaches really challenge them, because we're hearing stuff about, oh, the defensive line isn't as good. I mean, I think the problem with the D line, as we all know, is depth. It's late in games. But Cal, they have, they have to reshuffle their offensive line. They've had a couple injuries there. They weren't supposed to be that great heading into the season. I know Laird is a decent back, but I mean, come on, he's a try-hard white guy. I think we're gonna get a cheap score or two. I think the defense is gonna, win the game for us. I'm gonna go 24-10. We're gonna cover.
Woo! I like that. I'd be more than happy with that. That'd be fantastic.
But, you know, turnover, if we lose the turnover battle, then it's going to be a nail biter.
Yeah, no nail biter in Cal for me, thanks.
Yeah. Is Gaskin going to play?
No, I don't think he's going to play.
Yeah, I think they're saving him for Stanford.
Yep, as they should.
Yeah, hopefully. I want to see some D-line domination. And I want to see some more big plays out of the offense.
You bet.
All right, brother. Any final word?
Just win, baby. Let's get through this game and get ready for Stanford revenge game.
Get ready for the stretch run.
That's right, man. It's crunch time.
Just win, baby. Get it done.
Get it done, man.
All right. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll talk to you again next week. Go Dawgs.
Cheers.